Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com.
Okay, people, welcome once more today, beautiful people.
Beautiful Danny.
What's up, beautiful people? Hey. Let's wake up.
My chair went down. Another one of our episodes of the Live Life by Design podcast brought to you by Become an Investor. It is an awesome day today. I'm full of energy, super enthusiastic about life. And I don't know, I just had some Jack in the Box and now I'm like on...
Wake up.
Something.
Anyways, your host, Huicho Medina here, just talking gibberish like we always do and taking the conversation south in the room. Our beautiful team across the table from me, Mr. Campos.
What's up, beautiful people?
That's me, man.
How you doing, Campos?
Good, man, good. Had a crazy day today, but other than that, it's been good.
Crazy days are good, are awesome. I love them. And then... our very strong and beautiful lady over here to my right.
That's me. What's up, beautiful people?
How you doing, Danny?
Doing good, busy as hell, and happy, blessed, nobody sick on this table today.
Yeah. Cool. So let's get started. Campos, you got a bio over here for our guest tonight.
Yes, sir. So we have a special guest tonight. She's originally from Jalisco, Mexico. She came here to the U.S. when she was 12 years old and learned English within 6 months. That's actually pretty badass. Yep. She graduated within the top five of her high school and actually got accepted to UCLA, which is one of my favorite schools, right on. She opted to going to Cal Poly Pomona and studied mathematics and statistics. So we got a smart lady here, right?
Very sharp.
Numbers, girl.
Yeah. Unfortunately for her, she was undocumented, so she wasn't able to get a legal job at the time. But you know what? She's a hard worker, and she found creative ways to actually raise money to pay for her college. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that she did was knock on doors. She, trying to find work, which is unheard of these days, right?
Yeah.
And then she became a waitress for a short time, actually did some cold calling. So you know what? She was meant to be a real estate investor, right?
Right on.
And then finally... she was offered a job in the city of Pomona overseeing programming for 5 community centers. So she had a regular 9-to-5 job life and finally found out that, you know what, she wanted to go the entrepreneur route. And now here she is. She is not just a real estate investor. She's also a dancer and she stays true to her roots. So right on.
Cool. I love it. Guadalajara, Jalisco.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Arriba, dale, Mexico, dale, cabrones. Dale.
So our guest has a quote for the night or for the day.
And as always, we love to share the quote. And her quote is, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts. Winston Churchill. That's right, a beautiful guy. So with no further. Further ado, here with us, Anaid Ramirez. Welcome to the podcast. Right.
Thank
the
you
numbers,
guys.
Girl.
Yeah, statistics lady, watch out.
Right on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today. I'm very excited. It's the first time I'm speaking at a podcast.
Right on.
And I'm a fan, so I'm fangirling over here.
All right. Yes. Make right sure on. You go like your episode, okay?
Of course. I'll share it.
Right on. So, hey, you mind expanding why this quote, success is not final, failure is not fatal?
Damn.
time, and everybody's afraid of failure.
I'm going to answer to that quote with another quote.
Okay.
So a couple of years ago, I was going through some emotional turmoil, and I went and I talked to one of my aunts. And the thing that she told me at the time was, mija, todo pasa, right? Mm. Everything passes. Everything will pass eventually. And at the time, it seemed a little insensitive that that's all she said to me.
Yeah.
But then I heard this quote by Churchill a couple months ago, and it kind of started to click for me what my aunt meant, right? She was trying to give me some hope, mm-hmm. right? Failure is only transient, right? It'll go away,
yeah.
right? Eventually. And likewise, success is also transient.
Yep.
So yeah. when you're experiencing success, you're supposed to embrace it. You're supposed to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you shouldn't be complacent,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
You should take it and continue to move forward, right? And because the day of tomorrow is not promised, so you don't know if you're going to have success the next day. Mm-hmm. And failure is the same way. If you're experiencing failure, embrace it as well, because the best thing that you can do when you're failing is to try to learn from it, right? So what I get from this quote is that no matter what you're going through, whether it's success or failure, you're supposed to embrace it and keep on going forward. Just keep on pushing forward because life continues.
Yeah. So I'm going to assume you've had your failures.
Yes. Yes, I have.
And what's one of the ones that you can say that you don't have to be specific on your failure, but the biggest lesson you brought from that stuck with you?
So I'll be specific. Why not? I recently invested in an e-commerce business.
Okay.
And I went on this journey with a couple friends that I trusted, and I ended up losing a lot of money because people got greedy and they didn't keep their word,
mm-hmm.
which is something that really bothers me because mm-hmm. they were supposed to be friends, right? So something that I learned from that experience is that you want to assess the people you want to work with, not yeah. because they're your friends or family members. That doesn't right. mean that they're the right partner for you.
Yeah. Right?
So that was one of the biggest lessons. And so now I'm very careful with who I trust, which is hard for me because I love talking to people. I mm-hmm. love interacting with people. And I can honestly say that I tend to be more on the positive side. So I tend to trust people right away.
Yeah.
But now with this experience, I needed to go through that to realize that that's not always what's best.
Now, let me ask you this. Is that slight or intense mistrust, do you think it could affect you in your decision-making process, selecting further partners in your future endeavors and business?
Yeah. I mean, breaking somebody's ability to trust is hard to rebuild. I've experienced mistrust in other situations as well. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, it kind of becomes this paranoia that never leaves you. Because even when everything's going right in the back of your mind, you can continue to, you know, see or hear the things that you experienced before. And you can confuse them with what's going on at the moment, right? So it's, for me, it's something that I'm constantly working on, just trusting people in general, because I'm very sensitive. I give my all to people, so I'm very sensitive to people that fail me or that break my trust.
Yeah. What would you ever do business with those people that failed you in that one business venture?
I'll invite them to a birthday party or something, but I wouldn't do business.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so, because it just shows you the essence of people. There are people that make mistakes
mm-hmm.
and can come back from that and learn and grow and never make those mistakes again.
Yeah.
But I actually heard, I forgot where I heard it from, but I heard somebody once say that if you make a mistake once, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you make a mistake twice, you made that by choice. So that's no longer a mistake.
Right.
You chose to yeah. do that again. Right. And in this case, with these people, I don't want to be there to experience the second time.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I
differ from that.
Yeah.
And I'll share my view a little.
Yeah, go ahead, because I kind of wanted to put in my two cents, but I'll wait for you to give yours first.
So, you know, for Danny, trust is something huge, right? For me as well. But here's the thing. The reason I ask you if you would ever engage in business with them again, apparently that's a no. You know what? I learned from my mentor early on in business that, yes, trust might go away, but awareness comes. Right? Yeah. So when you trust someone so deeply, you get blindsided by that. And sometimes you got to suffer through that to get that awareness and be able to develop that new skill to know that that person that you shouldn't trust or that you think you cannot trust anymore still holds some skills that you don't. Right? Yeah. So do they benefit the intent of your business? But now you're aware of what they can bring to the table. And what they can take. So for me in business, I've always done business with people that have done me wrong, but with a different view now, with a different scope, right? And then I'm very vocal about it.
Right.
This is not going to happen again. You did that last time, and you know, boom. That's and then it sets the parameters of what I'm allowing to happen in that business venture.
Right.
You know. So sometimes we get carried away by the emotions, by the emotional side of our thought processes and say, no, you broke my trust. Like, I don't want. No, fuck that. Yeah. You know, sometimes they have what you don't have. But they give you that awareness, that new skill that you didn't have before because you ran your business from the emotional side instead of the logical side. We spoke about this in our
Yeah, that makes total sense to me. Yeah. Yeah.
Campos?
And that's pretty much where I was going. Same thing is that, you know, I got burned by somebody in the mobile home business, right? And same thing, you know, but the thing is, you got to, once it happens, you have to set your parameters going forward if you're going to work with them again. And unfortunately for me at the time, I really needed to work with this person because they brought a skill set that I didn't have. But in order for me to carry my business forward, I had to. And now, it wasn't, you know, talking from the emotional side, I wanted to beat the shit out of this guy, but...
Right.
At the same time, it's like, well, then what does that do for me business-wise, right? Do I work with them all the time? No, but I mean, if there's some a venture that does come up where I do need his expertise, 100%, but you got to set the parameters of how you're going to allow that relationship to be going forward. It's kind of like a breakup, right? You know, if you're going to go see your ex again, well, then, you know what, here's how it is, right, yeah. Going forward. And it's I think the same thing applies, but I think that, you know, trust is... Like, I'll say today from my experience today, I let somebody down today, right? And it fucking bothered me, right? And my apologies again, dude. But no, 100%. But no, but it really bothered me, right? Because that's not me, but shit happens sometimes. And I'm not making an excuse. I own it 100%. But, you know, it's like, damn, you know, it fucks you up in the head. Excuse my French, but it does. Right. So, you know, you just gotta dust yourself off, pick up, adjust, and reset the parameters and move forward, you know? That's the only way to not get, because eventually you're going to get stuck in your business and may need those people that you don't want to work with, right?
Yeah.
And you got to keep that in mind.
Yeah. You never know who you're going to need. That's true. And in this case, it was definitely from the emotional side because he was a friend or they were friends from a long time. Maybe it would have been different, who knows, if it had been somebody that I just happened to partner with. But because there was that emotional attachment already with them, this just made it emotional. But you guys are totally right.
I remember one time one of my partners, he was going to buy into a property that got brought to him by an agent that he didn't trust. And, you know, I thought, let me look at it, you know, let me look at it really quick. Property out in Palm Springs. And, dude, he made $1.2 million in 30 minutes.
Nice.
And I'm like, you trust him now? You know? He's like, wow. So I told him, there's no pride in business. You can't do that. You know, I posted the other day on Facebook, I can't be a racist. I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So entrepreneurs don't look at colors or religions or sexes or none of that. We look at activity. We look at numbers. We look at results. Right. I mean, we could all dress ourselves, put a cover over us, same color. Right. We can even cut out stools that we stand on to give each and every one of us the same height, same proportion, and then go through a process of testing abilities, and then you'll start, you know, saying, okay, you're strong at this, you're strong at this, you're strong at this, you're strong at this, mm-hmm. right? And then we can uncover ourselves, and then you might just realize that these are the three or four people you hate the most, but they have what you need.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know, that's kind of weird, but. So you shared about your failures. What about your successes? What has been one of your biggest successes to date that you hold on to dearly and the lesson behind it?
So in the intro, Steve mentioned that I paid for my own college. And it might not sound like a big deal to those that have the resources, that have financial aid, that have parents that help them pay for school. Yep. But it was thousands of dollars that I was supposed to come up with. And I come from a low-income family, mm-hmm. right? So it's not like I had the resources at home. I literally had to go find the resources. And it was either stay at home and do nothing or find a way to pay for school and make it and go to school. So I literally went door knocking, and I did that here in San Bernardino. I was door knocking on houses, businesses, just asking for a job. And eventually I ended up working at a restaurant there in San Bernardino. And that kind of set a fire in me that made me realize that the fact that I was undocumented was a limit that somebody else was putting on me, but I wasn't going to let my mind put that limit in myself. Right. So I continued to knock on doors and I landed more jobs and I was busy. I was sleep deprived, but I was making it happen, which is what I wanted ultimately. And I was able to raise money. And there was only one quarter where I was not able to come up with all the money. And I actually withdrew from that quarter, took a break, and then went back the next quarter and then continued on my route. Wow. So it took me a little longer to graduate because of that, but I didn't mind it because I had the goal in mind. And I actually, that last quarter at Cal Poly, I was crying. I was like crawling to the finish line because I was exhausted. I would go from scrubbing toilets to making phone calls about helping you with your money to like waiting tables. You know, it was a lot. And then on top of that, I had to get good grades to make sure that I was actually on track to graduate, which was a lot now that I think about it. But hey, I was young, so I had the energy.
What's the lesson behind that?
So one of the lessons is that you can achieve whatever you put your mind to, right? It just takes work, dedication, and resilience. Mm. Because the moment you give up, then everything's over.
Yeah. Right?
It doesn't matter how smart or, you know, dedicated you were before. The moment you decide that you have failed, mm-hmm. and you convince yourself of that, then there's no moving forward, right?
Yeah.
So just don't stop.
Yeah. That story is inspirational. I mean,
yeah.
Big time. Because I mean, number one is like we all kind of have our background of what we do, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody gets tired, right? And then sometimes you even feel like, fuck, why am I even doing this? And want to throw your hands up in the air. But you said something that really kind of hit me. When you decide to fail, or when you decide it's failure, then everything stops.
Right.
Right. And that right there, just kind of hit me, because it's like, you know, I think the three of us can say this as partners, like, shit, we get tired of everything that we go through from an entrepreneurial standpoint. Right. The hours you got to put in, the work that you got to do, the thankless hours of, oh shit, you know, of everything that you do. And then it's like, sometimes everybody just kind of, at least I can only speak for me from that perspective. Sometimes it's like, shit, man, I want to stop, but I refuse to fail. So there's my, like, that's why you hit me. Cause that's my, where I relate. Right. But yeah, I mean, that's inspirational, because people don't do that nowadays. And that wasn't that long ago, right?
No, that was in 2010 to 2014.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty recent, but kids nowadays aren't, you know, interested in knocking on doors to go find a job. It's right. always an excuse of, oh, I can't do this because, you know, or I don't need to pay off my school debt because the government's going to do it. I
mean, yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, but she didn't have that option.
She didn't have that option, exactly.
So she made her own options. And even when you had to stop for a moment and, you know, rebuild what you need to finish, you did. You stop and you rebuild and you finish. So that is determination. And that it's not everybody that has that kind of mindset. I'm going to stop here and I'm going to go back and I'm going to just finish. You know, sometimes people stop there and then they look back and they just turn around and go other way. But you had that mindset, that determination to just finish what we started. And that it's not for everybody. So, and for being real estate investment, that is an amazing mindset. So you're a winner.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know what? I never hold anything back. So I'm just going to say it. You and I have always spoken at a coaching level, right? Our conversations have always been business related, coaching and all that.
Right.
I was going to say BS. but you know what? Just having this conversation with you and reading your bio and everything you just shared, man, you know what? My level of respect for you just went up the fucking roof.
Thank you.
I got to tell you that.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
I promise you that I'm going to do everything and anything that I can in my power to help you be successful. Because your story is badass.
Thank you.
Your story is badass. And I don't think sometimes as coaches, we don't, we're so focused in the, let me give you the data type of side that we neglect sometimes the human side. And my coach always told me never dehumanize your business, but being able to know you a little bit more in depth, just, which I kind of hate in a way, man, because I commit myself to that story, you know. It's like, fuck, I don't want to be part of a blemish in your progress. I want our team to be part of this beautiful story and for you to share with joy and pride and say, yeah, motherfuckers, you know, it's like, I did this, and then I met these people, and then now I'm doing this. Now what? But man,
wow, awesome.
my hat's off to you.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. I appreciate
absolutely.
It.
But how's everything going with Anaïd and the business? I know you just came back from a trip, got a little bit of time to disconnect.
Right.
Are you ready for what? Are you ready for? Because obviously there's a lot,
yeah,
you know, that you've done and built up to be this beast in business, right?
I'm ready to get to work. I think another thing that I took away from that experience is that I learned that I like to work.
yeah.
I know that sounds strange, but I felt thrilled when I was juggling so many things. And for a while there, I took a break, not just because I took a vacation recently, but I stayed home. I had kids and I slowed down quite a bit, which was also necessary. Mm-hmm. I needed that time to myself. I got to learn a lot about myself as a mom. And now my kids are starting to get a little older. My youngest is going to start going to school full time this August. So that's my green light for me. Both of my kids are going to be in school. So now I'm going to step on the gas pedal and I need to make this
work out.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Right. You were sharing that your husband is an engineer, right?
Yes, he is.
He supports you. He works from home.
Yes.
So you got full on support on that end.
Yes.
And now the kid's going to school. Yeah. I can see you going full force.
Yeah.
Watch out, guys.
Right. Now I was just going to make a comment because when my youngest one went to school full time, right? That is also when I start put all my energy in real estate. Before, I was just tapping here and there, trying to learn a little bit. And then he went to school. And having him there, that full-time, gave me so much freedom to do things. And another thing that was very important, on that time of my life was I had to be so productive on the time that he was in school that I had no time to breathe. I was way more organized at that time of today. But enjoy that. That's going to be awesome.
I mean, thank you. Yeah, it gives you a deadline, right? Because now you have to finish before the kids come home.
I can do 5 calls at the 9 a.m., you know, send 10 letters and do this on the meeting time. And that's it. And then I'm a mom again.
Wow.
You were still juggling, you know, you didn't miss that.
Oh, yeah, being a mom never ends.
Being a mom, be a wife, and be a business woman. So congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you.
I got to say, for you ladies, man, my hat's off. Like, I told my wife the other day, I want to say thank you. I told my wife, I want to say thank you for helping me appreciate my mom more. Because I see how much they have going on, or you ladies have going on at home with the kids, the house, like not in her case, but the lazy husbands and all that. But it's a lot. It's a lot, you know. I feel she's blessed that I don't help. But it's a lot. And then being entrepreneurs, both of you ladies here present, that's freaking, I mean, dude, you humans are the power, like no joke.
I agree.
You guys are the superpower for sure, 100%. But what about, tell us about your dancing. I mean, you do, you're a dancing instructor. You said you were going to teach us how to dance here and stay at two left feet.
I know. I'm down. You know? and then you got to teach samba, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think I have to learn samba from our Brazilian lady.
Oh yeah. We got the samba instructor.
Yeah, samba instructor, salsa instructor. Salsa. Yeah.
So how's that going? When did that start? How's it working? What? Tell us about that.
So I've been dancing since I was 7 years old. Okay. I started as a jazz dancer.
All right.
That was what was
in school, like.
So there was a community center actually in Guadalajara that my parents went to for other classes, and they came across this dancing class and they asked me if I wanted to participate. And of course I fell in love with dancing. I come from a family that loves to dance. Mm. Like, that's just our thing. Every family party, it was a dancing competition.
Oh, wow.
Like, it was like Dancing with the Stars. Everybody in my family dances to some, you know, level. So I started with jazz, and that's what I did until I was 12, formally. But, you know, informally I was, or is that a word? Unformally? Informally. There we go.
We make them up here all the time.
I know, you know.
Informally, I was always dancing with my uncles and my dad. So I had the partner dancing down from that side. And then when I came to the States, I started taking partner dancing classes. I did ballroom in college. I did ballet. I did contemporary, tango, hip hop. So I did it all.
Nice.
And then I started teaching at Cal Poly. There was this salsa group that was actually co-founded by me. There was another co-founder that helped out with that. And I started being the instructor for this group. And then eventually we came up with a performers group, and we went to different salsa congresses and performed.
Really?
And
how did that salsa just like group start? Just in a conversation? Hey, we should start a group, a dancing team or what?
I grew up dancing salsa with my uncles and my dad.
Okay.
So even though we're from Guadalajara, we have the music taste of people from Mexico City. So I have family members from Mexico City, and they listen to a lot of cumbia and salsa.
Yeah.
So that was our music taste. And when I got to Cal Poly, I was looking for a place to dance salsa, and I couldn't find one. So I thought, well, I'm just going to create one.
Oh, right on.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's how that group started, and I started to attract other people that were interested. And that's how our performing team came together. But that only lasted for 4 years. Mm. And then when I got married and had kids, I retired from everything. I went full-time mom.
Got it.
So I stopped teaching when my first daughter was born. And then when I was at home one day and I was kind of craving dancing again, and it's not the same when you have kids, because now you have to worry about childcare and all that. But I found this community center that has like Zumba classes and mm-hmm. other forms of workout and dance. And I approached them. I told them that I was a dancer, and they gave me this application. I filled it out, and they were like, well, you seem to be a fit. Yeah, we're willing to let you borrow our community centers so that you can have your classes, and then just pay us a commission for, you know, helping you with advertisement. And and that's how my classes started.
All right.
So now I'm teaching at Fontana. I have a couple salsa classes.
You have a lot of people in your class?
Yeah. So I have a lot of couples. There's a few that come without a partner, and then I just partner them up there. But I have a lot of couples that come and actually use it as therapy. I can really? See it yeah. while they're dancing, how they're learning to communicate in other ways that are not verbal.
Oh, wow.
And that's actually, to me, one of the most rewarding parts.
Yeah.
I have a lot of retired couples, actually, that come and they learn something new together, even though they're in the later stages of their life. Mm-hmm. So it's very rewarding, actually.
That's interesting.
That yeah, actually, you might end up finding myself and my wife there one day. You never know.
Please yeah. come join. Yes, yeah, right.
But you
I
know,
might
what?
Go I, by myself.
Yes,
yeah, you need a partner. Yeah. There
I need
you go.
Partner.
Hey, but I like how assertive you are. Right.
Thank you.
Said that where you were at Cal Poly, there was no salsa dancing or anything like that. So you created one. You right. asserted yourself there, right? And then you got the itch again to start salsa dancing again, and then you started this whole program at that community center. I think that's badass. I think that, you know, that assertiveness is exactly what is needed in this business, right? You got to assert yourself in certain situations where you got to solve a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and people are going to look to you to be that problem solver. And you know what? It's almost like you already have the experience anyway, right? Bringing that, you know, although different business or different, you know,
the skill.
Different world, but the skill is there.
Yeah.
Exactly. And this podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals, all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast. So hats off to you. I think that, you know, you're already at a head start, because a lot of people are just very timid coming into the business, unsure of themselves and not knowing what, you know, I shouldn't say what to do, because they know what to do. They're afraid to assert themselves in the situation. So I think you're already at a head start. I think that's
yeah,
pretty badass.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's pretty cool.
You know, when I started early on here in working in construction, I started doing trenches for landscapers, right, for sprinkler systems. And then my very first sprinkler system, I remember one of the guys in the team said, okay, so the whole point is from A and then to B, distribution, and then do simple math, and then feed all these little things the exact amount of water via this and this, like 4 or 5 simple steps. And I'm like, oh, I want to learn electrical. Same thing. I'm like, oh, shit. Well, I want to learn this. Same thing. Basic principles. But so once you develop a skill like that, you know, you just go apply it into any industry, right?
Copy and paste.
You can take it to any industry, because you already have the courage. You already have results based on a different industry. But, you know, like, it gives you a certain type of character.
Yeah.
Right? Of, oh, it shouldn't be any different than, I mean, you're not going to build a rocket, send it up and challenge, you know, Elon Musk, right? But, so, you know, something within reason, it's just like, yeah, use those same skills and
yep.
repurpose them. You know, repurposing is something very, very underestimated.
Yeah.
Or a lot of people say, well, I can't do that because it's not this. Well, it's the same thing you did yesterday, just in another industry. Mm-hmm. Yep. But it's exactly the same thing. In this business of real estate investing, as a creative problem solver, people don't brainstorm different ways of fixing problems, because they don't allow themselves to even tamper with the, with. To them, it's like an illusion that there's a possibility outside of the box, outside of the real the real estate. I can't fucking talk today, man. Outside of the real estate agent box, you know. Mm-hmm. But now having these different skills in so many different industries that you've been on, this should be like, and I'm not going to say a walk in the park, but like
much
Campo
much
said,
easier than yeah. than somebody
a
else
head start
starting
for
out.
Sure.
Yeah, it's like definitely a head start is what we're saying.
Yeah.
So that's actually pretty
Thank
cool.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
Danny.
Being entrepreneur, it's simple, right? It's not easy. It is simple. And that is what you have been doing with your life over the time. It's building up and you were taking the steps. You took the first step that was getting your degree because you felt like that was something very important to you. Now you're building your community that it's very important as well, right? And from that community, who knows what that can bring to you on the real estate because you're communicating with people all the time. I see you relating. You can relate one business with the other because mm-hmm. it's all about communication.
Yeah.
It's all about the networking that you're building. You know, your network, it's your net worth. That is what they say right. all the time. So you're doing that all the time. It opened doors, right, for people bring it up. And like you say, I see couples in the class, and I can see how much it helps, right? And the same way, I keep seeing this little thing on the Instagram, whatever it is. They're just like, okay, I'm going to do my hair. One was therapy or no therapy? No therapy, so shut up. They put the tape on the mouth, right? yeah, it's $50, so no talking? Okay, no talking. No. But I'm 100% sure when you go in class, there is always someone that stay behind and stay to the end and want to talk about what's going on. And you never know what's going on with, you know, the other human beings that you're around, but they always going to bring something to the table. And I'm 100% sure it happens all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting to me because I've been doing this my whole life, right? I love talking to people. I love putting myself out there, and I never realized until you guys pointed it out that
yeah,
that's all helpful in the entrepreneurial world.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah, absolutely.
It is.
And it's funny. It's like I was an entrepreneur this whole time, and I hadn't really acknowledged it myself. Like I didn't know that that's what I was. I just knew that I definitely didn't want to work for the city, you know, for the rest mm-hmm. of my life, or, you know, I just didn't want to have a 9-to-5 forever. I was okay with it at the time, right? But now it comes full circle for me. Everything's starting to piece together, and it's giving meaning to why I had to go through the experiences that I had to go through.
Yeah. 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 So what's in the oven for Anaid Ramirez? 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, you have a plan. Are you structuring a plan?
Yes. So I am currently in the process of learning real estate. I'm trying to live and breathe real estate mm-hmm. As much as I can. And part of that plan is coming up with the resources so that when the opportunity comes, I can, you know, I can go for a flip or for whatever that opportunity calls for. But I do want to invest in real estate. I want to make a career out of this. So that's my primary focus right now. And the goal is to come up with enough cash flow to be able to help my family, mm-hmm. right? To be able to provide for my kids. My husband is currently the sole provider. And it's, I don't know if other women can relate, but I feel like being a dependent woman, like depending on a man, just feels wrong to me. Because I worked so hard for a degree so that I wouldn't have to depend on anybody. Just, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's women that are totally okay with that, and nothing against my husband. You know, I appreciate all the support. But to me, it's like I did not work so hard just to end up depending on somebody and not contributing financially. So my goal is to be able to kind of go away from that dependency financially and be able to be a contributor just like my husband. Like, I want to lift a little bit of the weight off his plate as well. Uh-huh. But that's just me. I don't want to depend on anybody financially. And I want to feel like a contributor.
So what goes first on the list? Is it, now this might sound like a very stupid question, but I'm curious. And I ask these all the time, just like my style. is the point of contributing first to take weight off of him or the sense of achievement for you?
Wow, that's a hard question because I want to do both. I want to.
If you had to knock one off, which one would it be? Is it Anaïd wanting to feel that achievement, or is it, no, I want to take load off my husband's back?
I think it's that sense of achievement, just because I feel like I haven't felt it in a long time.
Okay.
Like, when I graduated from college, I got my degree, I felt like I achieved something.
Okay.
Right? And because there was a lot of work that preceded that, right? And I feel like being at home is a lot of work, mm-hmm. right? But it never ends. So you never get that sense that, you know, okay, finally I did it, right? Like, my kids just outgrow one stage of their development and they move on to the next one. So it's like a new challenge and it just never ends, which is rewarding in itself. But I feel like I need something for myself. I'm motivated a lot by feeling of achievement.
Yeah.
So that's probably what motivates me the most. I don't know if it's like a pride thing or I don't know. What? Who knows? I'll ask my therapist next week. I don't know. But
there's nothing wrong with the pride. I mean, you need to be proud and have the pride to yourself, right? I think that's beautiful. It's something that gives you feeds your soul to just keep going. Mm-hmm. I have no problem if the husband or the man, whatever, wants you keep paying all the bills. I'm okay with that. No, seriously. And I have nothing. I saw my dad, growing up, he was taking care of the household all the time. So I grew up with that model. Mm-hmm. And if I want to do something for me, that is when I need to achieve it for me. So I think it's totally normal. I mean, it's achievement.
I don't want to make this sexist or anything, but you know what? What you said right now made me realize that us men are I would say, I'm gonna speak for myself. One of our top priorities and pride, one thing that makes us very, very pride and joyful is being a good provider, right? Being a great provider. 100%. But then second to that, or just as important to it, is the sense of achievement too. So we're like almost fucked over here because we have to provide.
Yeah, but so here's the thing though, like talking about achievement, like where is that, right? Because here's my thing. I it's almost like I accomplish a goal, but I don't feel any different other than looking back. Does that make sense? Like I celebrate my small wins where I can, but when I make, like, I go through and like my first deal, yeah, it was like, oh, I accomplished something, right? But I look back at, shit, you know what? It's another day. Like, looking forward, it's just another day. What really gets me is, what did I become in that process? Does that make sense? There's the achievement, because I think, hey, I won this. Doesn't change how I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning, right? But what changes is my mentality, right? What did I have to do to get here? What did I have to become? And that's my biggest thing is like, I'm really big and focused on what am I evolving into? Because, I think that's the biggest thing in life is that evolution of who you are. And that should be, I think, everybody's biggest achievement is not being the same person you were 2 weeks ago or 2 years ago. Right, particularly in this business or whatever business you want to be in. And sometimes I feel like I'm not evolving fast enough. You know what I mean? And then then that's my sometimes overthinking, like, oh shit, am I doing enough? Am I not? And then you gotta avoid all that shit, because then you get stuck and then you don't achieve, right? Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest thing is like, you got to become who you need to become to get what you want. Does that make sense?
Right. So, yeah, achievement is not an end point. I think that's what you're trying to say. It's not an end point, well, right? It's,
I think, though, it's
the little progress.
Right, right. And the baby steps to get to where you want to go. But when you get there, it's not the, I made it. You know what I mean? Right. No, it's the, hey, you know what? Now time to get that bigger mountain.
Maybe your dreams are too small.
No, my dreams are huge. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, it's like, it's not the, you don't magically turn into wake up and say, oh, I'm
right.
You know what I mean? I achieved this and now I'm.
I think I know what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe I'm not articulating it right.
If I look 5 years. Yeah, I don't
know what the fuck you're saying.
No, I'm kidding.
If I look, it's like this. If I look back 5 years of my life and see what was, you know, what I was holding on that time, right?
Right.
It was barely nothing. And then I look today, I achieve way more, not way more, but I achieve a good amount that I can look and say, hey, what the fuck, right? It's good. But it's still, it's not the achievement that I'm looking for, because what I am looking for, let me see if I can make this clear, is to build that legacy. And right. That legacy for my family and just, you know, be whoever I want to be, that it's big. So mm-hmm. I know this is just one more step. Yeah, celebrate your small achievements, yeah. But that it's not the end. So when I look to the end, it's way far away from me.
Right, right.
But the plan, it's on, my plans are all getting together now, and it's huge.
Yeah.
So maybe the achievement that you are looking for yourself, it's right now. Nobody can talk. 1 year from now would be, okay, I want to have a couple of wholesales on my pocket and maybe be able to hold the property. And then the next step, it's going to be in 3 years, that's going to be doing more flips and things like that, or holding more properties. I don't know, in 6 years from now, multifamily, and that's it's going to be the achievement. You need to have a vision, right. So you are not even going to see your achievements. That's what I think.
Yeah, kind of like that, because you're not gonna wake up and feel like you're this great person all of a sudden, is what I'm trying to get at, right? Yeah. Exactly what Danny's saying is that you're not even, because you're achieving and setting your goals and have your plans and you follow them, it's just another, kind of like another step is all, right? But you're not.
And the only thing you hear, the steps take years, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, my question was geared, and I do this every episode, I got to bring these guys back into the
Right.
My question was geared more towards you owning where you're at, mm-hmm. and you owning why you're doing what you're doing, right? So the sooner we start kind of removing all the fat, like what I'm getting coached
hey,
and then all these different options, if you may, like, you know, I asked if it was getting a load off your husband's back or fulfillment, right? That achievement, the sooner you take one out of the table, now you have clarity. Like in your instance, it was only two. Other people have 10.
Right.
Other people have none. Right. But for you, it was just two things. And then we removed one out of the table, which is totally fine. And I think it was the best choice. Your family and your husband will reap the benefits of you just owning that, because that gives you clarity. And now you know why you're doing what you're doing, instead of all this confusion all over the place.
Yeah, I was hearing what Daniela was saying about legacy, right? And building a legacy. It currently, well, for a while, it felt like the legacy was being built only by my husband. Mm-hmm. And not to minimize what women do at home, right? Because we do a lot taking care of the kids so that the husbands can go to work. But I realized this when we bought our house, right? We bought our first home and my husband said to me, oh, look, you know, we did this and with our money, right? And to me, it just didn't make sense. Like, wait. you earned that money. You know, we right, quote unquote, paid for this with your money because you worked for that money. And he was like, no, my money is our money. You know,
don't get that confused. Agree.
Right. And,
you're
and
home,
I see
and
it.
That's a lot of work.
Yes. And I don't disagree with it. Like, I am on board with that. But at the time, maybe I was a little bit bitter, right? Because I felt like this was his achievement. And I wanted to contribute. I wanted to help him. But I felt like all I could do was being at home and take care
of
kids.
You know how much a chef charge?
Right. Oh, my God, yeah. And my husband tells me this all the time, right? Like, you know, and I chose that. I chose that. But for a while, it was a big change for me because I went from working and providing and having money and to, like, just being at home. And it was a shock for me. You know, it's, again, not to minimize what women do, because you're right. That's very valuable work. And it's invaluable to be able to stay at home with your kids. Some parents can't afford that, right? Like, some parents both have to go to work and their kids have to be left with who knows who, right?
Yeah.
I was blessed to be able to stay with my kids. But for a while, I felt like I was just a taker. Like, I was just taking from my husband. And it's weird, right? But it's so weird.
I don't know. So, like, you know,
but
so
it was just because I just wanted to contribute so badly.
It's because you were not on that place where
you're naturally independent.
Yeah, someone was taking care of you. That was probably the first time that someone stepped up, like, really, and say, okay, now you rest. You rest, you recharge. So next time you go out, you know, pursue your dreams, you're going to be strong. And what he did, it's very appreciated as a husband, you know, because now you're ready to go. So,
He's great. He did exactly what I needed when I didn't know that that's what
Do
I needed.
Do you see yourself working with him in some kind of project?
With him? With my husband?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think I've said this before to Wicho. He's everything that I'm not. Like, we balance each other out very well. He keeps me on check. You know, because I tend to get excited quickly and like, oh, I want to do this and yes. And he's I don't want to say pessimistic because that sounds negative, right? But he's a more realistic, you know, he'll bring me down from my cloud and he'll be like, okay, let's just think it through, analyze it and see how you feel about it afterwards. And that helps sometimes because otherwise I would be
like
face
me
on the ground.
you know what? So all that energy that you bring to him and your plans and your wishes and your desires to achieve, put a timeline to that. Bring the same energy, bring the same crazy ideas, but say, oh yeah, in 5-7 years, this is where we're going to be. Because now you're planting a seed, right? And now there won't be a need for him to bring you down out of your cloud. Now all he'll have to do is support the process.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because, we get that a lot from our spouses or friends or close family that we share our ideas with is like, oh, yeah, this and that and this and that. Like, oh, you're fucking crazy. But because we give them in the now moment, like, oh, this is what I want to do now. I want to see this now. But if you set a timeline for it, then they'll say, you know what? That doesn't sound unreasonable at all. Let's look into it. Now you bring him into your world, right? Mm-hmm. Include him in your idea, and then both work towards it with that 5-year, 7-year, 10-year timeline, whatever that is, right? And then you slowly take that defensive mode or that reactive mode from him because he doesn't know if your plan is tomorrow. Maybe bringing that clarity onto the table and saying, this is a 10-year plan. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. I thought you wanted this yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why they react in such a...
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is starting to feel like couples therapy or something. I love it.
it's reality, right?
Because we all go through it.
Yeah. And so here, it's same thing, same exact thing that Wich was talking about is what I went through with my wife, right? And my wife is very... realistic, for lack of a better word, you know. And when I got into this whole mobile home thing and flipping and doing what I do, her first thing was, you don't even have a job. Like, how are you going to do this? And She's like, you know, she didn't really trust or believe in what I was doing, right? And I told her, give it, you know, the 3 to 5 years and let's see where we're at. And I'm going to do my best, you know, kind of sold her on. And now she's involved in the business. After what, like year one, year two, I want to say now, like today, she was out mobile home parks hitting, you know, doing what she needs to do to continue to help grow the business, right? And the track that we're on right now is like, I, you know, got all these other things that are, and now she sees it and believes it because, like, she's part of it. Mm-hmm. But the thing was getting her to see the picture, right? The first step, second step, third step, and then finally getting her involved. Now she's all in. Does that mean? And now I got right. full support in what I do.
Nice.
Whereas before, man, it starting out, it's, I'd be glad you got support because it sucked.
Yeah. It sucked. Some people have to see some signs of life before they say, oh, yeah. It's breathing. Right. I mean, it's true. And it happens to everybody. It happens to all entrepreneurs. There's nothing special about us. Right. We're no smarter, no dumber than the next one in the next building over. It's just a natural process of an entrepreneur where, you know, last week I shared that there's in my immediate family, uncles and first cousins. There's 105 of us. And I am the only one involved in real estate investing, you know, so. When will others jump on board? Who knows? But I remember I asked my brother, dude, I've known you for 43 years, right? Because I'm 44, he's 43. So I told him, I've known you for 40. And I mean, this was actually some years ago. I told him, we're together every single day, every day. And you see me, we do our construction work and you see me go get educated. And why don't you come and check this out? I mean, I invited him maybe like 12, 14, 15, 20 dozen times. And then one day I remember I told him, dude, you've seen me from day one and you've seen the change in every aspect that this business has given me. What else do you need? What other proof do you need? And they're like, dude, you never told me that this way. I'm like, yeah, what other proof do you need, man? I mean, you've seen the difference from being where I was and what I've achieved through this business. What else? Tell me. I mean, you want me to buy another fucking house or two? Mm-hmm. What else do you need? And he said, you know what, dude? Yeah. And then he tampered with it for a while, and then he just decided it wasn't for him, you know? But, I mean, we can go on and on all night, right, talking about stories and why you should do and why you shouldn't do it, shouldn't do it, and failures and successes. But if you had the opportunity to talk to this Anai, the one that was going through all this to achieve that, what would you tell her? What would you tell her that awaited for her? Fast forward to this date. From an entrepreneur to a hardworking student trying to achieve her plans at that time.
I think I would tell her to embrace the opportunities that she got at that time and to just live in that moment, to not worry about the future. Because I know back then I was constantly worried about the future. I was afraid to fail. I didn't want to fail those that believed in me. And that kind of drove my desire to prove to everybody that I could do it, right? And that's why I was so eager to get a degree. But I would tell her that she doesn't need to impress anybody, that she just needs to do what she feels like she is the right thing to do, and to just embrace that she has opportunities, you know?
Yeah.
And like the quote implied, you just need to push forward and it will be okay.
Absolutely. Let's close it up for tonight, guys. Thank you for sharing that. Anaïd, last question. What would you tell any upcoming investors, any upcoming entrepreneurs looking to get into the business of real estate investing?
I would tell them to believe in themselves. You know, imposter syndrome is real. You know, we all suffer from it at some point. And as long as you have the determination, right, and the willingness to work hard, you can achieve everything you put your mind to, even if it's not in real estate. But If you are in real estate, come join us.
Anaid, if anybody wants to get some dancing classes here local, where can they find you?
Yeah, so if you go to the City of Fontana Recreation website, you can find my classes under the Heritage Neighborhood Center and under the Senior Center.
All right, on nothing online?
So it's the City of Fontana website, the recreation website.
Oh, but you don't do any classes online, live online?
I currently don't, but that's a good idea. Yeah. I might. I currently don't. I love the in-person interaction. But hey, who knows? Maybe. Maybe during COVID, I could have done that.
There you go.
Create an app.
You never know.
Yeah. Campos, any closing statements?
No, just that. I mean, yeah. I said no. I start off with no one. Don't. Yeah. No, thank you for being on the podcast today and sharing your story. I mean, it's a badass story. And I think that, you have some great things coming your way. Stay focused. I think that's the biggest thing. And utilize the natural skills that you have, right? Being assertive and talkative and, and being in the moment, right? Being intentional about your time. I think, if you're able to continue to focus and do those things, you got a great future ahead of you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Danny?
Thank you for being here. Math, little number girl. I'm happy you were on the team and, appreciate you being sharing your story. It's a beautiful story. Stay consistent. Stay with all your determination. If someone say that you're thinking too fast or thinking too much, just forget about what they're saying. What you say on the end was the most powerful thing for me. Once you put away the noise from other people and stop caring about what they think, you can focus on what you are doing at the moment, and you can create more. So if you have ideas, put on the paper, and if they have questions, say, hey, just read this. Just don't worry about it. Don't listen to these guys. No, good. Keep going after your dreams, because I think you're doing amazing.
Thank you, Daniela.
Yes.
Yeah. I think you're gonna
kick ass.
I think you don't even know what you're up for. Honestly, this type of energy and this type of grit is rare. I'll tell you that it is rare. It is not your everyday type of skill. Grit is something that you clearly have, and just. It's going to define very clearly where you're going really soon. I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
And fulfilling, you can check the box on that. And contributing and getting some weight off your husband's shoulder just to feel that you contribute, you can check the box on that too.
All right, doing that.
Right.
Learning this.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
Thank you, guys.
Beautiful people.
Beautiful people. If you want, find us. Check us up on Facebook. Become an investor. If you need more information, go to the info at becomeaninvestor.com. You're also on Instagram. Don't forget to give us that like.
Hit us with those 5 stars.
And keep following us.
Yay, yay.
All right. Bye. Thanks, everybody.
Buenas noches hasta Guadalajara, Jalisco.
Yeah.